Master Food Test Kitchen, meal planning for your next outdoor adventure, great pound cake s'mores, and we scout out a Scout Master and make a hamburger meal all in one. Plus, great recipes that'll have you saying,
"Ooh, it's so good."
Now, in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen, along with Jamie, Amy, and Brian, here's Howard.
Today, we're talking about one of the things that I just love and one of my best childhood memories, camping. I love to camp. You guys ever camp?
I have.
Are you a regular or just like an occasional camper?
An occasional camper, but it was fun. It was the first time out. We had a good time, but now it's more something that the boys do together.
Amy?
Yeah, I did it as a kid. I remember we went to Jellystone Park because I remember the giant
Yogi Bear statue.
Yeah. But we didn't do it too much as a kid, because we basically lived out in the woods. So
coming home was camping.
As an adult, I've taken my son camping on a couple of occasions.
Camping's huge. I mean, this country, I mean, it's economical in one sense. It can be very expensive on the other. As a matter of fact, on the Mr. Food TV segments, we did Campers Country Ribs.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. And you know what's nice? Because traditionally, if you start off with ribs, they're going to be baby back or spare ribs, which take a long time to cook and prepare, and you got to smoke them, and you don't have that time when you're out there camping. So we actually use country style ribs, which are really nice. It's sort of a cross between a pork chop and a rib, and you can just throw them on the grill, and we slathered them up with a mixture of barbecue sauce and sweet and sour sauce and just a little bit of hot pepper sauce, and they were finger licking good. The only thing is, we had to make sure that the bones that were left, we had to put them in a garbage bag and put them high in the tree.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Because that sweetness would really attract the bears, and that's the last thing you need.
How long does it take to cook those on the grill?
About 10 minutes. Yeah, it's really short. I mean, you're cooking it like basically like a pork chop, and they are so meaty and so tender. Yum.
Something about cooking outside, cooking on the grill, or cooking when you're camping, the food tastes so good.
Well, you get all that smoke.
Yeah, the smells.
We did real wood, so we were cooking over a wood fire instead of charcoal. Nice. And even if you're cooking with charcoal, I mean, definitely it's nice to use like lump charcoal instead of briquettes, because it just seems to taste better.
And the type of wood you use, too, if you're cooking with wood, the flavor infuses all the food.
Yeah.
So you can get creative.
In the campsite we went to, they actually sell the firewood.
That's nice.
Well, that's convenient.
Oh,
that's
the firewood.
One less thing to pack.
Yeah, yeah. And then on day two, we did, what's a classic? I mean, hot dogs and beans.
Yeah.
So we actually did those, and we cooked those as well on a grill. And we topped them off with corn chips.
Really?
So we did that for lunch one afternoon after we were fishing. I think I caught a sandal. It's the only thing I caught.
How long did that take to cook?
It didn't take long. I mean, it was...
You've never heard of sole?
Oh, no. But we cooked it in a cast iron skillet right on the barbecue, so it was nice. It heated up quick. It was easy cleanup. And then for dessert, what do you have when you go camping?
Gotta say it.
S'mores.
Yes, definitely. But instead of the traditional way, which is always nice, you know, you go spend 20, 30 minutes looking for just the right branch. It has to be green enough that it doesn't catch on fire. So we actually did these with pound cake. We grilled off some slices of pound cake.
Oh, that's neat.
We buttered them up, and then we layered them with mini marshmallows while they were warm in a candy bar, the Hershey bar.
Ugh. I would have never thought of grilling the pound cakes. That's a really good idea.
It is.
You know, we did another recipe with grilled pound cake.
And we had warmed fruit cocktail
over it.
That sounds great.
You haven't lived till you've put pound cake on a grill.
It's got a pound of butter in it. So you can buy the frozen. Oh. So the frozen's good. You can take it right out of the freezer, put it in your cooler, slice it up. You don't even have to add the butter to it because it's got enough
in it.
And you just hit it on both sides. It's crispy on the outside, tender, delicious on the inside. You can't miss. Really nice addition.
Yeah.
You can always hit the tent. You can use a tent when you're camping, or you can go the RV way. Have anyone ever done RVing?
No. It's one of our dreams, though. My husband and I say all the time when we retire, we want to get an RV and travel across the country.
I want to do Route 66 in an RV.
Wouldn't that be great?
That's something we talked about.
I would totally be down with that.
Yeah, I would love doing that.
It'd be kind of neat.
My wife thought it was a good idea fight. Well, if I did it and she stayed at home, she thought for like a month or two, she said that would be a really fun trip. She said, just make sure you let me know a day or two before you come home.
So, we should do a Mr. Food road trip.
I think we should get a Mr. Food RV.
Wouldn't
so
it be fun?
If like Winnebago, one of the large companies are listening, we can talk. I could see the Mr. Food logo on it.
On the road.
And we just do it. Brian, do you drive?
Move it across America. Yeah.
I'd love to drive. That would
coming
be,
to a town near you.
That's right. And we could have these big festivals
great.
Out there.
Great.
That'd be really nice.
And we could make s'mores, pound cake s'mores.
Across the country. There's no stopping us
Let's
now.
Let's do it.
So all of these recipes that we talked about, the country ribs, the amazing hot dogs and bean casserole, skillet dish, and the pound cake s'mores, all those recipes are on MrFood.com. An RV is a great way to travel. And, you know, it can be one of the pop-up campers, one of those big monster ones. I actually, when I was probably in my 20s, it was my brother, mother, sister-in-law, and nephew for a week in a big camper. So it was really good. We went up to Canada. So we drove down to Philadelphia. And we met this girl that I went to college with. We were in her parking lot of her apartment. We surprised her out of the blue. She came out. We were talking. It was like midnight. She says, I'll make you guys a big breakfast and I'll bring it out in the morning. So 11, 12 o'clock, us guys, we go to sleep. One of my friends says, how far is Atlantic City? I said, I don't know. Probably an hour and a half. So we drove to Atlantic City. We were out all night. We stayed there. We get up. We continue with our week-long adventure. Never calling my friend. We didn't have cell phones back then. She came out to the camper. There was no camper.
Did she already make all the breakfast to bring
breakfast,
it out?
Brought it out there. We weren't even there. So that was my first camping adventure. And we're still very good friends today. Took about a year to get over it, though. Anyone ever do the pop-up camper?
I've seen them. I've never done them. My grandfather used to have one of those.
Pop-ups?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
so, fun. Because they lived in Fort Myers, which is west coast of Florida, and we lived on the east coast of Florida. So when my grandparents would come to visit, they'd tow behind them their pop-up camper, and they'd sleep in our front yard because we didn't have a spare bedroom.
That's a nice way.
It was great.
And up at Disney, that's a fun place if you've never gone camping
well, you
there.
You can camp at Disney?
Yeah. Really? Well, not in the Magic Kingdom or Epcot. They have campgrounds, Brian.
Well,
I mean, I know you fell asleep on a bench once.
I did.
You had a couple too many beers in Germany.
He was on the
That's another story for another
day. You see the wine in France and the beer in Germany, and they're only 50 feet apart. You know, what do you do? What
Brian's
do you
like, do? Why is the bed
Dilemma.
Shaking? And then the teacup stopped. Like, whoa. It is a small world, isn't it? But Disney has some really nice resort areas in Fort Wilderness. So you can get a cabin that sleeps six people really comfortably, and it has the kitchen and living room, dining room, and you get all the benefits of going to the park and staying on property without paying those crazy
That's
prices
a nice
of
way
a hotel.
To do, that's a nice way to do camping too, because you do have some of the amenities there. You know, you're not truly out in the wilderness all alone with the bugs and the creepy crawlies.
You certainly aren't alone.
Do you remember when Disney had the tree houses that you could stay in years ago? Yes.
They don't
had
have
tree
those,
houses
though, huh?
that you
really?
Could stay in that no. camp out in the tree houses.
But you can rent a camp spot there for like $50 a night. So it is a nice way. So whether you rent an RV, maybe rent a pop-up trailer, or borrow your neighbors. That's always a better way to do it. Maybe stop at Disney. Camping's definitely a way that you can get your family together, enjoy the outdoors, and say, ooh, it's so good.
Still to come, camping tips and tricks, and that all-in-one hamburger that you've got to try as we find out what's cooking in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen.
This advertisement is neither an offer to lend nor a commitment of funding. Penn Funding is a marketing and information firm for business.
Attention, small business owners. Penn Funding announces the easiest and fastest business funding program, the Platinum Business Account.
We needed cash, fast. Business is good, but this is an emergency.
We needed some new equipment, and the banks wouldn't help us.
At Penn Funding, we like to say, yes, you're approved. With your Platinum Business Account, you could qualify for up to $50,000 or more. Call 800-755-5357. 800-755-5357. 800-755-5357. This amazing new business account funding program is so effective, you could have the cash you need in just days.
I called Penn Funding and had my money fast.
Call now for your platinum business account. If you've been in business for at least 6 months, you could qualify for up to $50,000 or more in just days. Call 800-755-5357. 800-755-5357. 800-755-5357. Attention baby boomers and seniors. Introducing Vantage Therapeutic Walk-In Baths. Never worry about falling in the tub again.
After two knee replacements, I needed help just to get in the tub for a shower.
I want to stay independent and in my home.
With a Vantage Walk-In, it's like having your own personal hot tub, so you can bathe, relax, and ease the pain in your muscles and joints. Your Vantage Walk-In Bath includes therapeutic features like hydrotherapy jet massage, aroma, microbubble, color, and ozone therapy. It's like getting a massage every time you take a bath. So call now to receive an instant cash rebate and a free in-home consultation.
I love my Vantage and my knees feel better.
Call now for a free, no-obligation in-home consultation. You qualify for an instant rebate and we offer affordable financing options. Call 800-619-4955. 800-619-4955. 800-619-4955.
We're back in the test kitchen, and we're talking about camping today. And with us today is Kevin White, who's a scoutmaster for the Boy Scouts of America.
Howdy.
And we're also with Amy.
Hi there.
Jamie.
Hello.
Brian.
Hello.
Do we love camping or what?
Absolutely.
It's fun.
Yes.
You know, more than 45 million people went camping last year. That's
a
lot of people.
One campground I went to at the same time.
It was pretty crowded. Yes, no wonder the line for the shower took forever. So when it comes to camping, I mean, the food, I think, is the best part. I mean, it's great to be with nature, but food, nature go hand in hand. Why don't you share, Kevin, some of the meals and what the Boy Scouts are doing? How often do you go camping?
We go at least once a month, and the type of camp out varies. We do different kind of camping. Sometimes it's backpacking. Sometimes it's a camperee where it's a much bigger event and we have a little more chance to bring more food and prepare nicer
meals. How many people are something like that big event?
At a camperee, there's several hundred boys involved, and it's basically a competition between troops, friendly competition. So there's games that are in knots and lashings, canoeing, things like that. We kind of compete against each other. Cooking competition, the youth have a cooking competition between each other. So there's a lot of opportunity for bigger meals. And when you're backpacking, it's everything you carry has weight. So we eat much less.
So what are some of the meals that you guys make out there?
When we're doing a camperee, there's pretty much two platforms in which you'll cook. Uh-huh. You can either use a propane camp stove, and that's kind of the easiest for anybody. That's
the classic, the Coleman classic kind of camping stove.
And which is nice because everybody knows how to cook on a stove at home. So if you're going out, you set up a camp stove and it's no different than at home. You know, you can cook all the same kind of meals, your scrambled eggs, whatever.
And if you're not familiar with it, it's basically a butane stove that has like almost these wings that come out so it protects the wind.
The boys tend not to burn their food when they use that one.
Right.
The other type of cooking we do a lot of is with cast iron Dutch ovens.
Nice.
So that takes a little more practice not to burn your food. We can either cook that over coals of charcoal, or sometimes if we have enough coals and embers left on our campfire in the evening, we'll do a dessert on that. But we cook everything in those, from like stews and pot roasts. We'll do cobblers. My son did a pineapple upside down cake in it the other day.
Wow. That's, camping sure has come a long way, hasn't it, huh? Do you do most of the prep at home and like put it in Ziploc style bags and then they just sort of cook it out there?
Again, it depends a lot on the event that we're doing. Things like the camperees, we're sort of short on time because it's a competition. So there's a very fixed schedule. You have to be at a certain field at 1 o'clock for this game and things like that. So you don't want to waste a lot of time. So in those situations, we will prepare a lot in advance. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll buy the pre-cooked bacon. So we just have to heat it up.
Right.
But if we're going on a fun camp out, let's say, you know, canoeing, and we're not in a rush and we wake up in the morning, the boys prefer the real deal applewood smoked bacon, and we'll take the extra
time. All right, I have a question for you. On your pancakes... This is from an earlier show. What do you put on your pancakes?
What do we put on them?
What do you put on them personally?
You.
Me? Oh, it's got to be the real deal maple syrup. I can't do the artificial stuff.
So it's not genetic.
Yeah. All right, because Amy was saying, I just put butter. You will not find syrup in my home.
I actually was weaned off the butter, and I just do the syrup.
Okay.
But I grew up, yes, with the butter on it.
Just the butter.
No syrup.
Growing up.
Well, butter and syrup.
Oh, I have to have both. That's the way I have.
Yes, of course.
But someone doesn't put syrup on her pancakes or waffles.
Or anything.
Have it drizzle over onto the bacon.
No.
You deny your son of that as well?
He doesn't like it either. He doesn't even like butter on his pancakes. He likes them just plain.
No. Well, our last vacation up skiing in Vermont, we went for skiing, but I went for syrup. Yes. So.
His skis were very sticky on the way home, but that's another story for another day. When you start the fires out there, are the boys gathering the twigs or you bring fire starters? How does that typically work?
Again, depending on where we're camping, wherever you go camping, there's always rules and regulations to be followed. Sometimes parks will have a no-gather policy, so you can't go out and collect firewood there, so you have to bring it with you. On these type of campouts, you know, we typically bring charcoal. It's a little easier to work with than a wood fire. Wood fires take a long time to get the embers right and the coals right. So we typically stick to charcoal when cooking with the Dutch ovens.
Have you ever cooked with foil cooking?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's actually a really nice and simple way. Take your aluminum foil, double fold it, make a pouch, fold the ends. I typically line my foil pouch with a piece of cabbage before I put my food in it.
Interesting.
The cabbage will keep the food from sticking and also adds the required water moisture so that as it steams inside, that keeps your chicken moist and things like that.
I wish I had known that years ago.
Because I know we have some great recipes on MrFood.com. We have hamburger meal in one, which has the burger and the potatoes and everything right there. So that's just a nice way. You can make it up ahead, keep it in your cooler, and just pop it on the campfire, and all is good.
I wanted to expand a little bit on the foil pack.
Sure.
One of the reasons it's really nice is that everybody puts exactly what they like in it. Some people like corn with their chicken. Other people like peas. So if you have a set of canned goods up, everybody just takes a scoop of whatever they want, puts it in. Everybody kind of gets what they want out of their meal. And
you're on Sunday.
Yeah, and when you have a large crowd and you have a bunch of foil packets in the coal, it gets pretty easy to misplace whose is whose.
Right.
So a trick is to use mustard. When you write your name in mustard, it'll burn on there and not actually come off.
Cabbage, like, mustard, these are great tips.
Never heard of
mustard on the outside.
On the outside. Mustard on the outside of the packet.
The vinegar probably burns.
Into the pattern into the foil so you can actually see it.
Wow, that's really great. Nice.
And then you immediately can jump into dessert with your foil packet. It's doing the same thing. You'll core an apple, slice it, and then when you put it in the foil packet, you kind of reform your apple and drop caramel cubes in there with some cinnamon and put it in the fire. And now you've got an apple pie for dessert.
This is amazing.
Can we go camping, please?
Amy, when was the last time you went camping?
It's been a couple of years.
I'm not talking about at the Marriott. I'm talking about like outdoors with...
No, you know, you like the outdoor camping my husband will do.
Camping.
Well, that's the thing. Like when my son was in Scouts, not everything, not everything was outdoors. So like we did overnight trips where we stayed at the museum or we went to SeaWorld and that kind of stuff. But when it came to camping in the great outdoors, I think my husband did that more with my son than I did.
Bugs are always a problem when you're outside.
Oh, yeah.
So, nah, there's no bugs. Are there any foods or tricks that you have to keep the bugs at bay? I mean, I've heard, you know, things like apple cider vinegar helps keep, you know, the bugs away. And
no, I mean, in our experience when we're out there, it's pretty much DEET or deal with it. Mm-hmm. So the boys don't really seem to care. Usually you start your campfire and the smoke from the campfire is good enough to keep those mosquitoes away.
Right.
That's a good point too.
Do you make a big bonfire typically at these?
for the most part, boys join scouts to play with fire, go fishing, you know, and it's really the reason the mindset, you know, why they want to go out. They want to be adventurous and they want to have fun. So yeah, the fire, no matter how hot it is, even in the summer, we have a camp out this weekend and it's, you know, 92 degrees. I guarantee there will be a large campfire going.
So. Right, because when you walk away from the fire, it doesn't feel that hot anymore because it's, you know, 120 degrees next to the fire. And you just can't miss that way. When it comes to fire safety, I mean, obviously mm-hmm. that's a big thing. You're camping, you're leaving the campsite. What tips do you recommend if someone's camping, how to take care of that fire before you leave the site?
Well, you always have to practice basically having the fire out cold. So you shouldn't start a fire to begin with unless you have a large supply of water to put it out cold before you walk away. And the biggest thing is when you're putting water on the fire, you just don't want to douse it. You kind of want to spread the ashes out and sprinkle it over slowly because, you know, obviously you throw water on a hot thing and it bursts up in steam. So it's a good chance you'll get a good steam burn if you just dump the full bucket of water right on it. So you kind of drizzle it out and then you should be able to put your hand right over it and feel that, you know, it's out.
The last thing you need to start is a fire, and we're going to be sharing lots more. Ooh, it's so good.
Still to come, if you thought you knew a lot about camping, we've got much s'more to tell you about. Right here in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years and years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
1-800-899-6030.
They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, Consolidated Credit Programs will teach you how to get out and stay out of debt.
Call 800-899-6030. 800-899-6030. That's 800-899-6030.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Services are primarily educational in nature.
Still to come, Camping 101 at 350 degrees, that is, camping cookbooks that will light your campfire. Wait, that didn't sound right. Plus, great recipes that'll have you saying,
"Ooh, it's so good."
Now in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen, along with Jamie, Amy, Kevin, and Brian, here's Howard.
We are talking camping, and Kevin is joining us today. He's actually a scoutmaster with the Boy Scouts of America. Welcome, Kevin.
Howdy.
What does it take to become a scoutmaster?
Well, usually we always joke that the right person for the job is the person that raised their hand. So,
so your hand went up first or no one else's hand went up at all, right?
It did. Really, the requirements are you have to be over 21. You take some training through the Boy Scouts. There's a classroom setting called Scoutmaster Fundamentals. Mm-hmm. And there's also an introduction to outdoor leadership skills. And after that, there's a plethora of materials for which to gain additional knowledge. That's essentially the bare minimum of what it takes to be a scout leader. Typically, most scout leaders have been in the program a while. Their sons have been through it, through Cub Scouts. So you have a lot of experience coming in to the position when you get there. It's actually a lot of fun and more rewarding than the work seems to indicate.
You know, one of the things you were sharing during the break was that your role is not really to do the stuff for the kids, whether it be meal planning or building the fires and stuff, but to let them do it and have the older kids teach the younger kids and you sort of referee everything to make sure everything's going smooth. Is that correct?
That is correct. The Boy Scouts has a program designed to have boy-run troops. So as an adult leader, it's our guide to guide into leadership roles the older boys, and they in turn lead the younger boys. So my job is to sit back, watch what's going on, make sure that what is being taught from the older boys to the younger boys is correct, and to help any personality conflicts that may arise.
Not that would happen with teenage boys. That would never happen.
So when they go out, and we were talking about food earlier, the boys,
we always talk about food.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Earlier, later, doesn't matter.
The boys actually plan their own meals. They're given a budget. We give them the cash. They go to the grocery store. They buy their own food. They know all the food safety precautions and the coolers and what needs to be refrigerated and not. And they do all their own cooking. So the only thing I have to cook when I'm out there is for the other adults. And, you know, we take turns at that because we all like to cook.
What's one of the craziest, funniest stories you'd love to share that we can share on the air at least?
Oh, sure. I have two for you. No one remembers the good campouts. It could be a perfect campout and everybody looks back on it and goes, oh yeah, I remember that. That was good. But it's always the one that has adversity that really sticks out. And our last backpacking trip, it looked like it was going to rain a little bit. So it wound up that it was kind of a freak storm that came in and it got so wet that at night, the tents were in about 6 to 8 inches of water.
Nice.
And then on the way out, that was the high ground as well. And on the way out, everybody had to slog through about waist deep water for probably a mile and a half with their backpacks.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
but what great training.
It was. And,
for a duck.
Well, it's funny you say that because when we got back, actually, we awarded a make-believe patrol called the Duck Patrol for any boy that experienced high tide like that. And our other story was interesting is you talk about ways to store food and whatnot. And one of the things you never want to do is keep food in your tent because of wild animals.
Yeah. Or your neighbor who might be hungry next door, of course.
Exactly. One of the old cub masters that I was learning from told a story, and it kind of stuck with me, that he went on a camp out and was told by his leader at the time, don't bring food. Well, he thought he could sneak a bag of Cheetos in his bag and, keep it in his tent. Well, by the time he got there at night and realized that the animals had chewed through the back of the tent, come in, they could smell it through the bag and everything. And he spent about the next hour and a half looking for his underwear out in the back of the woods because they just drug everything in his bag out into the woods. So you definitely don't want to keep food in your tent.
What are some of the tips? Where should the garbage and food like that, if you don't put it back in the vehicle, if you're camping,
right,
where should you put it?
That is actually the best place is the vehicle or a bear box. But a lot of places will have bear bags and raccoons.
What is a bear bag?
A bear bag is a...
I know that's where you keep your Mick Light, right? In the beer bag.
It's a bag that you put in anything that's got food or food waste products and you string it up in a tree far away from your campsite. Basically, anything that comes smelling it and looking for it, it won't be in the middle of your campsite. It's off to the side, and it's in a position where they can't get it.
And bears won't climb the trees to go get this?
No, it's suspended from a branch, and then you actually tie it off to a different tree than what it is suspended from.
Okay.
So they typically don't find the bag. We have more problem with raccoons. So we do the same thing for raccoons because they get into everything.
And they are everywhere, too.
Yes,
everywhere.
They are.
My wife does that with the Cracker Jacks when she wants to keep them away from me. It seems to work, though. She just ties it to the kitchen cabinet, and it seems to work just fine.
So what kind of foods do you recommend that people take with them if they're going to go camping?
Again, I think it's situational, depending on what you're doing. If you're talking like a first-time camper, you're probably going to be in a very convenient location, like a county park or something like that, so you can actually prepare a little nicer meals. But if you're going back, backpacking or out in the wilderness, you want to take things that don't necessarily need refrigeration.
Did you ever use any of the replacement meals that the Army uses per se?
The MREs. We have in the past just for fun.
Okay.
But generally, the backpacking favorite is Spam.
Oh yeah,
really?
Jalapeno Spam. Love that when you're backpacking.
I didn't even know they made it in jalapeno.
You know how many flavors they have? It's enormous.
Really?
No, they have tons of different flavors. In Hawaii, it's still, I think, the number one meat.
Yes, it is.
It's just incredible. And there's a Spam museum. Who's had Spam here recently? Okay.
I have not recently tried it.
Never.
Fried sandwich?
Fried.
Fried.
Fried. Yep. In
Let's
a sandwich.
Let's do it. Let's try it.
Spam is actually good. Fried up and put on a sandwich.
A little crispy on the outside. Yeah. Do you cook it in the can? Do you heat it in the can or do you just take it in the
No, we usually take it out and slice it.
Okay.
How about Scrapple?
Love Scrapple.
I love it
a
too.
A little Philadelphia Scrapple.
Oh, man, I love Scrapple. Oh, no. With syrup on it. I say it, Amy.
Sacrilege.
I'm sorry.
That's just mean.
Oh, it's delicious.
Ketchup.
Ketchup.
On Scrapple?
I don't know who you are anymore.
We have lost all respect for you.
Funny, we all just said that several times earlier today, too.
All right, Kevin, so I know you love coffee.
Oh, I do love coffee.
So what do you do when you go camping?
Again, situational. If I'm at a place where a campery...
If he's in the Starbucks parking lot, he just goes in. Tells the kids to look the other way, and he puts it in another cup.
No, I do have a campsite percolator that I bring and cook it the old way. I have been desperate and done what they call cowboy coffee, which is you just grounds in the boiling water. And it's a way that you pour it with pouring cold water in afterwards that kind of draws the grounds down and you only get about half the grounds in your cup.
Oh my gosh, but, that sounds great.
Saves on flossing. You know?
But actually, when most times that I'm like that, I actually bring those Starbucks little instant Via packets of coffee because you then just heat up your water and dump it in and
that's
you're good to go.
Idea.
Instant coffee. And then... creamer is always
roughing
it when you're out there.
Yeah, I don't bring sugar or creamer on. I do that.
That's right, because then you have to put it in his bear bag. If there's one piece of advice you'd like to give to our listeners, what do you recommend when you go camping the first time? What do you have to bring with you not to forget that everybody always forgets?
The Boy Scouts teach that there's always what they call the 10 essentials. You probably don't need that for, you know, most people going out, but basic things like a lot of people forget a small first aid kit. Almost inevitably, you're out there, someone's going to touch something that's hot, you're going to get a burnt finger, you're going to get a splinter, you're going to get something like that. So even a small first aid kit is a necessity. I also think that it's important to know about water. Some of the campsites you go to might not actually have potable water, so sometimes you have to bring your own water. So knowing the location that you're going to will help determine, you know, what you need to bring. Something to monitor the weather. There's been more than a few campouts where a sudden storm had come in, and knowing that it was going to hit about 45 minutes ahead of time allowed us to button the camp down and not get hit.
That's good advice.
I could see how that really worked when they were trudging through the waist-high water. They forgot at that time.
Well, no, actually, we found the high ground in time.
But, and again, you have to remember to bring matches that will stay dry and all that kind of stuff.
You know, with the internet nowadays, before you go out, you do a web search for first-time camping, something like that, and take the Boy Scout motto of, you know, be prepared, because as long as you're prepared, you'll be fine.
You'll be good for anything. Well, I think it's a great way to get kids to be disciplined and just learn a lot of good values. And if you are, you're going to be saying, ooh, it's so good.
Coming up, forget the duct tape. Fix it with foil and the best places to camp and our personal favorites. Stay with us for more from the Mr. Food Test Kitchen.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-865-5044. 800-865-5044.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-865-5044. 800-865-5044. 800-865-5044.
This advertisement is neither an offer to lend nor a commitment of funding. Penn Funding is a marketing and information firm for business.
Attention, small business owners. Penn Funding announces the easiest and fastest business funding program, the Platinum Business Account.
We needed cash, fast. Business is good, but this is an emergency.
We needed some new equipment, and the banks wouldn't help us.
At Penn Funding, we like to say, yes, you're approved. With your Platinum Business Account, you could qualify for up to $50,000 or more. Call 800-755-5357. 800-755-5357. This amazing new business account funding program is so effective, you could have the cash you need in just days.
I called Penn Funding and had my money fast.
Call now for your Platinum Business Account. If you've been in business for at least 6 months, you could qualify for up to $50,000 or more in just days. Call 800-755-5357. 800-755-5357. 800-755-5357.
We're back in the Test Kitchen. I'm Howard, along with Jamie.
Hello.
Amy.
Hi there.
Kevin.
Hello.
And of course, Brian, who's at the control board here.
Howdy.
Howdy. Are we doing like a little country theme here or something? I don't know what's going on. We've been talking about camping. We've talked about cooking over a campfire, things that you need to be prepared. And the Boy Scouts of America really have it down when it comes to camping. And that's what Kevin's here to share with us. Is there a cookbook that the Boy Scouts have put together, or how do they get their recipes when they're out camping, or are they just winging it?
Most of the recipes are through various books that we find, you know, internet searches, things like that. There are a few recipes.
Of course, MrFood.com. I mean.
Absolutely. You know, most of them are more staples, I guess. You know, after so many years, the boys have experienced one of the older boys perhaps cooking a meal, and they remembered how good it was, and they want to cook that when it's their turn to come out. So a lot of the meals kind of stick around since antiquity and perpetuate.
I hear one of the favorites is something called a mountain breakfast. What's that?
Yeah, the mountain man breakfast.
Mountain man breakfast.
That's a Dutch oven breakfast.
So that's like a cast iron big heavy duty Dutch oven.
And you start off with some sausage down on the bottom, usually link sausage, and then add some thawed and drained potatoes O'Brien and brown that up. Pour a dozen scrambled eggs over top. Let it bake for about a half hour, and then sprinkle some cheese on it at the end, and it becomes like a giant egg bowl, you know, like a quiche almost. Oh.
How many would that feed your typical big bowl like that, or a big pot?
We typically feed about 12 people out of that, between 8 and 12, depending on, you know, how many people are out
there.
These
are teenagers, and you can feed that many on something that large?
Yeah, I mean, our boys range between 11 and 17.
Okay.
If we have more 11-year-olds, it goes a little further.
I bet it does.
And I know we've all looked, and there's a lot of different cookbooks out there really designed for, you know, people who go camping. Amy, what did you find out there?
Yeah, I found one that looks really great. It's The Great American Camping Cookbook.
Sounds like it's a great book right there.
Yeah, it's by Scott Cookman, and it goes through the history of traditional American camping and recipes. Wild rice pancakes, fresh baked cornmeal, blueberry biscuits, corn chowders, and bean soups. There's even a simple stuffed trout in there that looks really good.
So if you're fishing, you go right from...
Right, get your fresh fish. And
right from the lake, right to the fire.
So you could call that the Great Scott American Camping Cookbook. Sorry.
It had to be said.
I'm sorry. Yes, it did.
Jamie.
I found a great one called Easy Campfire Cooking, and that one's by Peg Couch. She has found a bunch of quick and easy recipes cooking in different conditions. What she really helps you with is the planning and executing the meals so that you can get everything laid out depending on which way you're going to be cooking, and explains how to cook each food. One of the really great recipes in there that I found is breakfast on a stick. There's also meatball subs and marshmallow puffs.
Marshmallow puffs.
A little variation from the s'mores, but really great.
Kevin, when the kids are out toasting their marshmallows for s'mores... And a marshmallow catches on fire. What's a natural reaction that happens?
I call them flaming balls of death. Because
is that a cooking term? We're not familiar with it, so please.
No, the younger kids, when the marshmallow catches on fire, the natural reaction is to shake their stick to try to put the fire out. And inevitably, the marshmallow flies off.
And lands on somebody's skin.
Yeah.
And then you just go over with a couple graham crackers and a Hershey bar, and you scrape it off the kid and say, all right,
keep those in the first
do another aid one. There's also the Boy Scouts actually put out a book called Scouts Outdoor Cookbook. It has more than 300 recipes, and it's really a collection from the Boy Scouts and Scout leaders all across the country, and they've put it all together. So that's available. All these books are available on Amazon.com, obviously, or, you know, check out your local bookstore, because there's lots of great ideas, because we march on our stomach. A lot of the prep can be done in advance, maybe making meals and freezing them if you're going to be out for a couple days. This way, by the second day, it's thawed. Also, I hear if you take balloons and fill them up with water and freeze them, they're great in the cooler to keep everything cold.
That's a great idea.
With all that ice just being over everything, it's just a little bit more controlled. It's a good idea to have one cooler that is for your meats and your real perishable items and something else for your soft drinks. Because if you have water and your other soft drinks that you want to have cold, that's often going to be opened nonstop, where you're perishable in your meats and stuff. You don't want to do that, because now you're bringing 80, 90 degree weather into that cooler, so it's warming up faster.
Howard, when's the last time you went camping?
Last time I went camping was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, when we were taping these shows that are airing this week. So that was the last time. But as a kid, I camped all the time. when I was young, and I'm going to sound like a million years old, we were going to Massachusetts, Cape Cod, and we stopped the first day of Woodstock at Woodstock.
Really?
Not
wow.
And it was like really eye-opening.
I need a moment to process this.
Yeah.
This was a big concert that happened.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm picturing Howard at Woodstock.
Just think how young I was at the time and to see what was going on in this free world with peace signs and love and all that. It was, wow.
Wow.
We had really cool counselors back then. So, and then when I got older, went out with friends and we would camp and we would go up to the Adirondacks. I'm from upstate New York and it was just beautiful. Mm. We would, you know, have a canoe and a couple tents. Just really fun stuff. Great
That's
memories.
Great. That certainly
now is. Now I like to probably more go to the Marriott or the Hyatt.
Yes. And
you know what's really nice about camping now is we're so attached to our electronics, and camping really gives you a good opportunity to just unplug.
Go somewhere there's no signal.
That's right.
We look at our phones constantly.
Scouts take their phones?
We have a electronics policy that we look at a phone as if it was like a knife or a hammer. It's a tool. Okay. So if you're doing something where you can utilize it as a tool, use your the compass capabilities of it, or perhaps using it as a picture to document, you know, as a historian within the troop, we allow it. But in generally, when we go off on our trips and whatnot, we ask that you leave them in the vehicle when we head off backpacking.
Now, how about pocket knives? Is that something that a lot of the boys carry that have?
Oh, every single one of them.
Yeah. So let's share about all the nuances that they have. I mean, some of them are just crazy.
It's interesting that I mentioned earlier that one of the reasons boys join Scouts is because of to start fires, and they like to play with knives. But one of the first things that we...
Sounds like our kitchen crew.
Right? One of the first things that we go through, we teach the young boys, they earn a fireman's chip and a toting chip. And so we actually have a program designed to teach them the basic safety, handling, and usage of axes and knives and things like that. And you have to complete that course before you're allowed to carry your pocket knife with you. Smart. And we do the same thing with fire as well. They have to complete a course before they're allowed to start a fire.
There's really some cool things that we found just searching online. You like coffee. And we were saying, you know, for the person who likes to have their espresso, there's a mini espresso maker. It's you can find it at firebox.com. And it's designed for camping. It's sort of a little ingenious hand-powered portable espresso maker. You can pump and brew, and it's just the perfect way to wake up in the morning.
I'm showing Kevin a picture of it now. And
I'm intrigued.
I see a Father's Day present.
I know. Should I save this and send it over to your wife?
Yes, yes, please do.
Now, when you take the Dutch oven and put that on the fire, are you putting that right on the coals? Are you doing a rack over it? How is that suspended over the fire?
Typically, we put it right on the coals, and okay. Then I have a set of tongs that I use to move the coals around and then put coals on top. We also sometimes have a Dutch oven table. Certain places we don't want to char the ground. You know, there's just grass there. It's not necessarily a fire ring. So we actually have an elevated table that we put our coals on and we do our Dutch oven cooking up there.
Now, for those who are listening, if you heard like a little connection between Amy and Kevin.
I don't know him at all.
You don't know him at all.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Kevin is?
He's my brother.
And they look identical. Well, she has longer hair. And
I have more hair, too. Well,
easy, easy. Right out of the fire.
That was not necessary at all.
Sibling love.
So it's great that Kevin came in and joined us.
Thank you, Kevin.
Sure.
Absolutely. And maybe we should all go camping.
That's a good idea.
Let's go. I like the RV idea.
No RV. I think we're going to go with tents. And I think we should go backpacking. That would be really
fun. I'll hold down the floor here.
So, again, no matter what you do this summer, try and take a few minutes, a weekend, and get out, enjoy the great outdoors, and together we'll be saying, ooh, it's so good.
And if you'd like to make any of the great recipes or see the ideas we've talked about on today's show, go to MrFood.com and click the radio button. What's Cooking in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen is a production of Ginsburg Enterprises Incorporated. All rights reserved. And remember, as we always say here on the Mr. Food Test Kitchen,
ooh, it's so good!